Good morning. Would you stand with me this morning? All right. If you would stand with me, and I want you to look at your neighbor, and I want you to say it like you mean it. Today is a good day. Stay standing with me this morning. I want us to pray together. Father, today is a good day. That this is a day you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we'll rejoice because you are our Savior, our Redeemer, our hope, our joy, our peace, our model for life. You are the empowerer of our lives. And today we thank you that you are more than enough. And today, because of you, is a good day. Regardless of the circumstances, it's a good day because of you in us. And we say these things in the name of Jesus. And together we said as a church, come on, you can do better than that. And together we said as a church, amen. You may be seated. Turn with me today turn with me to James, and we are still in chapter 1. And so today, whether you're here live or whether you're listening online, please turn to the book of James. So this is our third week in 24/7, How to Live Out Our Faith, all day, every day, in our family, in our careers, in our homes, in our jobs, in our neighborhoods. How do we live it out 24/7? The book of James is this incredible book. It's kind of like the New Testament version of Proverbs, that it gives us some incredible detail and of how to follow God. And that we see that, I mean, the book of James is incredible, that truthfully, we could spend the entire summer just on James. The truth of the matter is, Marlo, we could spend the entire year on the book of James. But we're spending a month on the book of James. And it's incredible because it teaches us about the expanse of God, the bigness of God, the majesty of God, how God created the universe. The Bible does. It teaches how he created the universe and every other universe, and that he rightly and correctly governs not only this universe, but every other universe. And that God knows the rotation of the earth, and he knows the rotation of the sun and every star and the temperature thereof. He knows all of these details on the macro level, yet in his vast expanse, he still cares for us. So not only does he know the micro of it, the macro, he cares for us on the micro. And not only does he rightly govern all things, he is interested and takes a special interest in our individual lives. In fact, Psalms 139:16 says this, that your eyes saw my substance even when they were unformed. And in your book were written, the days were fashioned for me, even when there were none. So he takes our days, and God put you together for days so that you could walk in the fullness of God's joy. How many of you want to be in the fullness of joy? And then it says in Psalm 16:11 that you show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Pleasures that don't bring guilt or shame or regret, but that last forever. And one of the things that we need to capture is what God is endeavoring to do, what God is trying to arrange, what God is orchestrating for your life and for my life, is that he is orchestrating for us that we could walk in the fullness of his joy, and that we were created. He is trying to reveal to us who he is, because we were created to experience him. It's what we long for. We long to experience him and to come to know him, which is salvation, where our hearts are opened up to receive him. But also, not only that, in James, we see that, the spiritual side of it, but we also see the very practical side. We see the do's and the don'ts. We see that he shows us kind of the path of life. He gives us in James, if you read James, and in fact, I encourage you to read it. We've encouraged you to read it each week. Take 20 minutes and you can read the entire book of James. It's pretty incredible. But it gives you a lot of do's and don'ts, shalls and shall nots. It gives you some pretty direct instruction. And so what we see in here is that not only do we see in James the splendor and the expanse of God, But we see that God is saying, hey, you want peace? Come this way. You want meaning? Come this way. You want significance? Over here. You want joy? Come this way. That's what Proverbs is. That it shows us the expanse of God, but also the obedience of God. And so in week one, we talked about how some of the things that we need to understand. That even in following God, there are going to be trials that we go through. How many of you in here, you've ever gone through trials? Anyone? The rest of you are fibbing. Or get ready, because it's coming. It's just part of life. And so we talked about understanding that and how we handle that. And then last week, Tamara talked about temptation, how there is God's way out, and then there's some practical steps out of temptation, and that we can overcome temptation. In fact, I want to say that again, and when I get done saying it, I want you to say amen. We can overcome temptation. Amen. You don't have to continue to live in that. You can overcome that. And so just right quick, a quick review. James is written by Jesus' half-brother. And Jesus' half-brother did not believe that he was the Son of God or that he was God until the very end. Because that's what half-brothers do. They don't believe that their other half-brother is deity. You just don't believe that. How many of you have a half-brother or half-sister? You just don't believe they're deity. Sometimes you think that they're the opposite. That they're not from heaven, that they're from somewhere else. I thought that about my sister, but at the very end, he finally believed because Jesus kind of pulled the trump card out and he rose again from the dead, which allows you to kind of have some leverage there. And so James is in writing to all these churches that had been scattered. So there's all these churches, the believers were in Jerusalem, and they end up having persecution, and they scatter throughout really the known world at that time, around all of that region, Roman Empire. And so James is writing a letter to these guys. He's saying, hey, here's how you follow God. Here's how you encounter God. Here's what's going on. And here's what James says at the end of chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. So if you have it, follow along with me. If not, it's on your screen. It'll be on your sheet. But I encourage you each week, bring your Bible so you can mark the great stuff that you read in here. It says, brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you. Don't merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is someone who looks in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but does it, they will be blessed in what they do. Verse 26, those who consider themselves to be religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that comes from the Father, that the Father accepts as pure and faultless, is this: look after the orphans and the widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And so as we read this passage, we get some incredibly practical shalls and shall nots, do's and don'ts. So let's just jump right in from here. So the first thing that we see, if we're taking notes today, is that James is saying to his audience, open up your ears. In other words, be quick to listen. And that's what it says in James 1:19. He said, everyone should be quick to listen. And so if you look at us, even anatomically, you see that we have two ears and one mouth. And sometimes I wonder if maybe, just maybe, that's the way God intended us proportionally use those things. That maybe we should listen twice as much as we speak, and that's how that should go down. But we should be quick to listen, to open up our ears. There was a columnist and a humorist and a journalist by the name of Frank Tiger. And Frank Tiger said this, be a good listener because your ears will never get you in trouble. Your mouth will, but your ears won't. And I want to take a quick survey across the room. How many of you with your mom and dad, your mouth ever got you in trouble? Woo! My sister, not me, I was perfect, but my sister, man, she could not control her mouth. I mean, she would just pop off, and I watched my sister, 4 years older, and I always watched her push mom and dad right to the limit, right to the edge, and she had that moment where she could either pull back or go over, and she would pause, and she would go over, and my family, we got spankings, and she would get spankings, and I would go, even as a four years younger, I would go, are you dumb? And I learned to push my parents to the breaking point and then draw back because I didn't want a whipping. Spanking. If you don't believe in spankings, oh well, it's okay. But the words that James is speaking to these young churches, that they've encountered God, but they're still finding their way and how to follow God, is he says, hey, be quick to listen. And the same applies to you and me today, is that for us, we have to be quick to listen. For those of us who've crossed the line of faith, that we've received Christ as our Savior, that we've become followers of Jesus Christ, we've discovered God, he's revealed himself, he's planted his word in our hearts, but we're still trying to figure out how to follow him every day, following moment after moment, day after day. And part of this is for us to be quick to listen. And we need to understand that more than ever, that sometimes you just hold back, and sometimes you don't say anything at all, and sometimes you are just quick to listen and slow to respond. And so I want to ask you a question. How many of you here like to argue? It just rises up in you. How many of you here, you're good at arguing? That's what I want. Raise them up high. You're good at arguing. I'm telling you, when I get fired up, I become a lyrical genius. That when I get upset, things flow out of me, and you're thinking, dude, I need to write a rap song, I need to write a love song, I need to write a break. I mean, Taylor Swift, she writes out of anger. Have you heard all her songs? Like, you broke up with me, so I'm gonna write a song about you. That sometimes we're so good at arguing, and we're so quick to argue, and really what the Bible is saying, and James is saying, hey, let's listen. Because here's what I want us to understand, that listening often halts arguments. And you say, how is that the case? Because when we listen, you know what happens? Is sometimes when we're listening, truly listening, we are hearing what the person is really saying. Because sometimes what comes out of their mouth is not really what they're upset about. It's not really what they're saying. And so when we're quick to listen, we can hear what the person is really saying instead of what's just coming out of their mouth. And we handle it accordingly, and it can stop arguments. And so James, in addressing these young churches, this original audience, he's saying, listen, be quick to listen. That he is saying to this group of people, to this group of young believers, to this group of young churches, he is saying to them, this is what every follower of Christ should do. Listen well. Second thing he says is, hey, just keep it shut. If you're taking notes today, James is saying to the audience, just keep it shut. In other words, be slow to speak. That's what the verse says there in James 1:19, be slow to speak. Not slow of speaking, but slow to speak. And really what we get here is that James is saying the intent of this verse is think, is process it through. Is allow yourself to kind of come up and to calculate an answer before you run off at the mouth, before you pop off at the mouth. So let me give you a little history here. Because sometimes when we understand the history of the moment and we understand the history in which these verses and this inspired letter was written, it becomes a little more full and rich for us. So the history here is that these churches had been in Jerusalem, they're all growing together, and suddenly they're scattered, and everywhere they scattered to, they preached the gospel. And there was incredible power, and God was doing amazing things awesome things, miraculous things. Churches were growing, and that it was this incredible moment. So this is kind of what's going on, is that there was some incredible things going on. And church history tells us that occasionally what would happen in these church meetings as they would come together, and what they would do is they would have a dinner together, and then they would sing some songs together, some worship, then they would pray together, and then they would read the entire letter. And there was different letters that had come. And so James now is writing this letter. And so then occasionally an argument would break out. In fact, several times, quite often, arguments would break out. And then not only would arguments break out, there were times that it would turn into shouting matches. And then not only, Aaron, would it turn into a shouting match, if you really ticked me off and I was in a bad mood and I was fired up, it would come to fisticuffs in the middle of this church meeting together. What? Can you imagine? We get fired up at each other and suddenly we jump in. Nathan, me and you go fist to fist. Everyone else is like, what is going on here? So now James is writing, addressing this. And he's saying, hey, be quick to listen, slow to speak. Because can you imagine having arguments in the middle of church? If you want, can you imagine that going on here? The truth is, if you want to be in a church fight, go somewhere else, because that's not how we're going to do business, ever. What's funny is the building committee, as we were searching for trying to find a facility just over 3 years ago, we were in the process of looking, and we moved here 2.5 years ago. And as we were in that process, and then we started building and deciding how we're going to build with that committee and picking colors and carpets and arrangement and structure and all that, that I told that team, I said, the day we start arguing over carpet and color of paint is the day that you're no longer going to be a part of this, because that's not how we're ever going to do business. This is not how it's going to work here. Why? Because that's not what we're about. We're not about that division, but about coming together in Christ. And so that's what was happening to those scattered churches. And James is saying, with that context and that understanding in mind, be slow to speak. And here's why. Because the churches were still finding their way. That God was doing the miraculous and the amazing, but let's not romanticize the state of what was going on, is that some of these people, lots of them, were still train wrecks. How many of you know when there's pressure and stress that we tend to get snippy? Anyone in here? And what was happening is they went from probably living in Jerusalem to now fleeing for their lives. But yet so impassioned with this message of Christ, so changed by the power of God that they're preaching. And people are coming out of idolatry. They're coming out of pagan religions. They're coming, they're stressed because they're moving. And some, when they would convert to Christ, now they're excommunicated from their family. And then, though God was doing the miraculous and they were drawn to him, there were still pressures. So there were train wrecks. And some of us in this room, we can relate to that. And they're just learning what's going on, learning to follow God, learning to be, they had encountered him, and learning how to live it out 24/7. And James says, hey, stop being an arguer. Why would he say this? Because James is giving the church, those believers, capital C, a snapshot of what the kingdom of God was supposed to be. He's giving them a portrait of what the kingdom of God is supposed to look like. And he's saying, hey, this is what the kingdom of God looks like, where we're quick to listen. The kingdom of God looks like where we're slow to speak. The kingdom of God means that we're slow to anger, that I'm going to hear you out. You want to talk? I'm going to hear you out. That before I reply, I'm going to breathe before I pop off at you. That's what the church is supposed to look like, how Christianity is lived out, that we're quick to listen, slow to speak. And Proverbs 10:19 says this, where the words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. I remember when I was 16 years old, and I'm driving down the highway, and I'm fidgeting with the radio, and I look down, and when I look up, the car in front of me had slammed on its brakes. And I slam on my brakes, and I try to turn, and the car starts sliding sideways, and I hit a 18-wheeler beside me just on the front bumper, and it pops me back straight, and I stopped, and everything was fine. The 18-wheeler kept on going. I drove home, and I had a dent in the front quarter panel of the car. My dad came home from work, and I had to show it to my dad, and how many of you know that was the most miserable 2 hours waiting for dad to get home from the office? And I remember he walked out to the car and he looked at it. And my dad is a strong man physically. He's an incredibly sharp man mentally. And that I remember him looking at the car and I could see the tension in his eyes, stress in his face. And he looked at it from a different angle. And it felt like the longest pause ever. I could feel the tension rising, the back of my neck sweating. I could feel my brow getting hot. And it was just like, oh God, just go ahead, let me have it. And I remember he paused for a minute, he breathed several times, and then he just said, well, he said something incredibly kind and patient, and he said, and we went on about our day. And I remember inside going, oh, thank God, that's it? That was it. So instead of wearing me out, he was like incredibly patient and calm, and I was blown away. And when we do speak, we need to think it through. I love the old saying that it's better to be thought a fool than to remove your mouth and remove all doubt. That sometimes we need to pause, slow to speak. And also kind of the shalls and shall nots, the do's and don'ts of James chapter 1, this passage, where he's saying, hey, keep your cool. He said, hey, just be slow to anger. It's time for us to keep our cool. And it goes on and it says in verse 20, if you're writing this down, if you're taking notes, underline this passage in your Bibles, underline it on your sheets, incredibly important. He says, slow to speak, slow to become angry, quick to listen, because human anger, getting mad, does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So in other words, we can't live our faith out 24/7. We can't live it out all the time if we're easily getting mad, if we're easily angered, if we're throwing temper tantrums on the job. That's not living out our faith in Christ, and it's not reliance upon Him as our Savior, our Lord, and the one who's in control. He's saying that's not living it out. And what God is desiring in this passage is that we are in control of our actions, that we're in control of our lives, mainly because of who lives in us is coming out of us, and that the control the Holy Spirit has over us, the transforming power of God, is shown on the outside of our lives. That we're living in ways that is not driven by anger. We're living in ways that is not driven by anxiety and worry. That we're living in ways where we're not fighting one another. It says keep our cools. And James talks to the audience about being doers of the word and not hearers only. He said someone who is a hearer only is like when we go to the mirror and we look and we see ourselves and then we walk away and we're immediately going, oh, how did I brush my hair today? We got to go back. That we don't remember what we look like. That's what he's saying that a hearer only is someone who forgets what they look like. Now, why would James give this description? Because James is saying he wants the readers, multiple churches, the church, capital C, he wants the readers to be blessed. And that when we are doers of the word, that's exactly what we'll see in our lives. Blessing. Did you capture that today? That as we're doers of the word, that there is blessing in following God. You see, the scriptures for us, we believe, are divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's something that's really a non-negotiable, that the Bible is written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And that it would serve us well to continue to get a better understanding of Scripture. It would serve us well to continue to have greater knowledge, greater understanding in our heart, and then to begin to live it out accordingly, because the result of following and being doers of the Word, the inspired Word of God, the result of that is blessing. Not that God's saying, okay, hey, you're doing better than anyone else, so I'm going to bless you because you're doing better, but it's the natural result of being obedient to God. The natural result is blessing. It's just like God, when we don't, isn't trying to punish you. Ronnie, you're not following. I'm going to try to smite you. Don't we think that sometimes God wants to, he's this mean God? No, it's just sometimes the natural response of not obeying God is that there's a lack of blessing. Not punishment, but a lack of blessing. And so it would serve us well to understand and to do, because the natural result is blessing. But here's the deal, we're human. And the natural predicament that is for us is that we think we know best. How many of you have ever been in a discussion with someone and you think you know best, even though you know really nothing about it? And then you want to keep arguing your point because we think we know best, and then there's a little pride, so we want to win the discussion, and so we continue on. When really, for us, that carries over into our relationship with the Lord. Is that sometimes we're not doers of the word because we think that we know best in our discussions with God. And honestly, what begins to happen, hear me out. Sometimes we begin to base our theology on our circumstance. Does that make sense? Oh, surely because this circumstance is this way, then God, let me shape my theology on this. And that this can't mean they're such a nice person, that this really can't be wrong because they're so nice. That can't be wrong because that's just, I mean, and we begin to base our theology on circumstance. Which really what that is anthropomorphism, which we're making God in our image, and it's idolatry because we're thinking God is us instead of us being in the image of God. It's the other way around, and it's just wrong. It's not correct. And so really for us, that we need to say, okay, God, what does your inspired word say to me? What are you speaking to me? And I'm going to base circumstance and view circumstance through the theology that I find in the unchanging word of God. And really, guys, here's the deal, is that last night, as I was doing my final prep, I changed a good portion of what we're talking about today because I felt like it was going to be for something for someone in this place today. That we base theology on the unchanging word of God, and we see circumstance through that lens instead of the other way around, because circumstances change, ebb and flow, up and down, in and out, where really, and the word doesn't. And so for us, we live out according to God's plan and God's theology. But if we lack the ability or the wisdom or the strength, the beautiful thing is God tells us in James 1:5 that if any of us lack wisdom, to ask the Lord, and he'll give us wisdom generously without finding fault. Brad, you lack wisdom in the job, and you guys are newly married. These guys are, man, how many of you remember the early days of marriage? Woo, hard. Not for you guys, because you guys got it. You guys got it all together. But I lack wisdom. Lord, and it says that God will give us wisdom. Wisdom comes from understanding the scripture. Wisdom comes from listening to the Holy Spirit. Wisdom comes from staying in fellowship with the church, capital C, with the church body of believers. That's how wisdom comes. Slow to anger, because when we're angry, that does not allow us to live out our faith 24/7 in our family, in our job, in our neighborhood, when we're angry. Number four, also James says this, that we give worthwhile worship. James says, those who consider themselves to be religious and yet don't keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Here's what I want us to capture today. When we say religious or religion, it has a tenuous meaning. Like even for me, I've said before that I'm not religious, I have a relationship with Christ. That I'm not religious, I'm a Christian. And that we've said the thing is not about religion, it's about relationship. So the term religious gives kind of culturally a tenuous feeling for some of us in our hearts. But that word there can literally translate worship. So let's read it with a little different feel here. It says, those who consider themselves to be worshipers, followers of Christ, and yet don't keep a tight rein on their tongues, they either deceive themselves and their worship is worthless. It goes on, it says, the religion that God accepts, the worship that God accepts is to care for the widows and the orphans and to keep ourselves free from the pollution of the world. So for us, it says that worship is much more than the time that we spend in service. Worship is much more than the time that we spend singing songs, and we have an incredible team that leads us in singing. But worship is about obeying God. Worship is about reverence to Him. You know what worship says? Worship says, God, I know that your ways are higher than my ways. God, I know your ways are better than my ways. And so, God, what I'm going to do, I'm going to obey you, though really I have a desire to go here. Your word, your unchanging word says this. And so worship means I am going to give reverence to what you've said, and I'm going to follow that. Does that make sense today? So worship is more that we sing some songs, and that I love that. It's one of my favorite parts of the week. Worship is more than when we come into service, and this is one of my favorite times of the week. Worship is how we live our lives, and we bring obedience to the Lord and saying, hey, okay, God, you know what? Though I could probably deceive a little bit here and get this deal done, and I'm going to worship you and give reverence to you because you said that we should do our dealings honestly. And that we should do our deals with integrity, that we should do our deals appropriately. And so I'm going to be upfront with this and honor, worship you with that. And God, I'm going to work hard because the Bible says that a man is worthy of his wages. And so I'm going to work hard even when my boss isn't looking. I'm going to put forth an honest day's work even when my boss isn't looking, because that is worship to God. Because you're not working for man when you're working on your job and you're working on, you're being reverent to the Lord. Does that make sense? I hope that my staff isn't working hard for me. I hope they're working hard for God and that we get to see the benefit of that together as a church. Does that make sense? That, Lord, I'm having some drive sexually, but really in my heart, I know that I need to be pure because and out of reverence for you, that I know, God, you know best for my sexuality, and in my sexuality, I'm going to honor you by being obedient. Now, here's the thing, is that really, this is something we've talked about 5 or 6 out of the last 7 or 8 weeks. It's something God keeps bringing to our heart, that God, we're going to honor you with sexual purity. In a culture that says, hey, try before you buy, God is saying, this is something that is incredible and is awesome and is powerful, but is to be used in the context of marriage. And God, I'm going to worship you by obeying you in this area. What about stealing? Man, the commandments deal with, basically 4 of them deal with our relationship with God. 6 of them deal with our relationship with man. And so if we want, it says to love your neighbor, how do we love our neighbor? We don't steal from him. And so we're honoring God by growing in God, honoring God by faithful to serve, honoring God by passing our faith down to those and serving in areas that where we can pass that faith down. Now, how important is it for us, for the older women to teach the younger women, the older men to teach the younger men, the mature to teach the immature? How powerful is that as a principle of passing our faith on? Guys, you know what? This part isn't fun to say, hey, stop. Sinning. That part of teaching is not fun, but the day that we stop saying the hard things because of what people will think is the day I need to check my motives. But worship that is acceptable to God is less about the volume of our singing and more about the walking out of our lives all day, every day. Showing respect and reverence to God by being doers of the word, not just hearers. That is worship. Slow to speak, processing before we talk, because the tongue directs our lives. It's an incredibly powerful force. And though it's small, it shapes our lives in so many ways. And so we're blessed by being doers of the word. Worship that is mentioned, worship extends to how we live. Religion, worship that our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And God calls us to not be polluted. And here's really what that means. I believe that when we truly and deeply encounter the grace of God, we will not be able to help but to start following God and living differently than pre-conversion. Does that make sense? Man, you don't know Christ, do whatever you want. I mean, really, but once you come to know Christ and you experience that grace and you experience that incredible transforming power, then what happens is we want to live differently, because if we continue to live one way and we say we've tasted grace, we probably have not truly tasted the grace of God. It will impact our work life. It will impact our family life. It will impact the way we treat people, we treat our spouse. Did you know that when we truly taste grace, it'll impact how we vote? No, whoa, let me step back. Some of you say, I vote Democrat no matter what. You can only be a Christian and vote Republican. You know, there's all this stuff that I'm not talking about Republican or Democrat. I'm saying it'll impact every avenue of life. But I want you to understand this, that our hope is not in our government. Our hope is not in our president. Our hope is not in our legislation. Our hope is not in our economy. Our hope is not in our circumstance or the weather. Our hope is in Christ. So when we're singing that song, my hope is in you, Lord, that's really saying, God, everything else, I've got to live within some of that stuff, but Lord, my hope is in you. And that when we experience God's grace, it will impact every area of our lives. Not perfect, but growing. So why does James tell us how to live it out 24/7? And this isn't in our notes, but I want you to write this down today. That why would James say this? Because here's the deal. James, God wants us to walk in the fullest life possible. I want you to write that down, that why would James give us some do's and don'ts, shalls and shall nots, give us not only the expanse of God, but the practical how to live it out, because God wants us to walk in the fullest life possible, and he's telling these churches that are still figuring it out, this is how it happens. A few verses, beginning verse 22, don't merely listen to the word, do what it says. Goes on in verse 24, it says that he looks at himself and immediately goes away and he forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and he continues in it, they will be blessed in what they do. So we see James again saying, Dan, you want joy? Come this way. Walk this way. Melissa, you want peace? Walk this way. The way that James is, the dude, shouts and shouts, walk this way. Carlos, you want meaning? This way. Carlos, this way. That's what we see in James, is that God is wanting us to walk in the fullest, most complete, most joyful life possible. And he's saying, this way, come on, this way, this way. Brett, over here, Sean, over here, come on, this way. You want to walk in blessing? Come on. That's why he's telling us this, because James was wanting his audience and God was wanting this audience to walk in God's blessing in the fullest life possible. today this passage applies to us. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, giving worship, not religion, giving worship that is worthwhile to God. This applies to us today, that he's giving us a picture of how to live in God's grace. He's given us a portrait of what the church is supposed to look like, what the kingdom of God is like. He's giving us that picture that we are quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because that anger doesn't produce righteousness. And then he's saying, hey, you know, be doers of the word. Keep your tongue in line, because those who know the word and are doers of the word walk in blessing. How are you doing with your tongue today? Maybe not today, because you knew you're coming to church, so you kept it in check, you know. How are you doing with your tongue in general? Let me go a little deeper. How are you doing today being a doer of the word? Not just a hearer. Not quick to argue. Man, I want to debate everything. My first response is, I don't like that. I'm debating it. I don't, man. It doesn't matter. That's not what I think. I'm debating it. That's what I'm doing. By golly, I'm going to debate it. How are we doing with our words? And how are we doing being doers of the word of God? Would you stand with me today? Heads bowed, eyes closed for just a moment. Would you mind doing that with me? Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts right now. And I pray that you would soften our hearts. Just would you pray that right now? Lord, soften my heart. Maybe it's just something that's gone on with family recently. Maybe it's something that's been on the job, or maybe you just felt a rise up even during the message. And so you say, Lord, soften my heart today. Holy Spirit, I pray that today you would deal with me. You would deal with us as a church. And you would deal with us individually, God. Lord, you laid these things out so that we could have the fullest life possible. You laid these things out so that we could walk in your joy, in your peace, in your rest. So we could walk in meaning and purpose. And that we could live lives of worship to you, responding obediently to you. So, Father, I pray that as we come to a close here, that you would speak to our hearts in a very real way. Head still bowed, eyes still closed today. If you say, you know what, I'm dealing with my tongue, I am not honoring God with it, that I am saying things I shouldn't say, it's sort of sharp and argumentative, and maybe even just what I speak, it doesn't honor God. And you say, I need prayer with that today. Would you raise your hands up, no one looking around? You say, you know what, I need to honor God with the way that I speak. It's good. Yep. Awesome. I love the transparency of our church, the thing that shows a tender heart. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. And you say, you know what? Really, I need prayer because I'm having trouble being a doer of the word. In other words, there's areas that just aren't right, that I need to be a doer and not just a hearer, that I need to be obedient and follow God in these areas. You say, you know what, I'm having trouble being a doer of the word. Hey, you know what? No shame in that, because really the truth is there is a lack. None of us are perfect. And what we're saying is, God, I just want to continue to rely upon you. I want to grow. And you say, I'm having trouble being a doer and I need help today. I want prayer specifically today. No one's looking around, a point of connection with you and God. You're saying, that's me. Would you raise them up today? That's good. Awesome. Awesome. Father, today, speak to every man and woman in this room. Speak to every, Lord, person that's here, Lord, that we would be doers of the word, God, in whatever the area that we're struggling in, or whatever the area that we need your wisdom, that, Lord, we would ask for it because you said you would give it, and that, Lord, then we would walk in that wisdom, Lord, understanding that there are trials, understanding there are temptations, but there is also a way through it, God, and that for us to live it out 24/7, Lord, that we've got to be slow to speak, slow to become angry, quick to listen, and worship with our lives in the way that we live. And the result of that is blessing. Lord, give us strength to be doers of the word. Give us strength, Lord, to speak with our life, with our words, and encouragement and hope, and to be patient with those things. In the name of Jesus.